Today's scripture is taken from the lectionary. The lectionary is one of those amazing things. Sometimes it provides such a creative range of stuff that you just got to do it all. So what I did was to excerpt it so you wouldn't be here for the next 20 minutes doing it all. So these are excerpts from the wonderful lectionary for today. A blind beggar was sitting by the road. When he heard that Jesus was passing by, he shouted, "Jesus, have mercy on me." And Jesus said, "What can I do for you?" And the blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." And Jesus said, "Your faith has saved and healed you." He recovered his sight and followed Jesus right down the road. You get to say the dark stuff. Psalm 34, 1 through 8. I bless God. Open your mouth and taste. Now we got it. I do the light stuff next, and then you get to do the dark stuff to close. A pilgrim song. It seemed like a dream, too good to be true when God returned Zion's exiles. We laughed, we sang, we couldn't believe our good fortune. God was wonderful to us, and we are one happy people. So now, God, do it again. Bring rain to our drought-stricken lives, so that those who went off with heavy hearts will come home laughing with armloads of blessings. Now it's your turn. Listen and let me do the talking. Let me ask the questions. I admit I once lived by... And that's what we have. We have it all firsthand now from your own eyes and ears. I need to say one more thing. Fred has picked hymns that always make me cry. So I've already cried twice. And the last hymn, which was my request, was because when I was ordained almost 40 years ago, this was the hymn that we walked out singing. And it's an old hymn, so mostly people don't sing it anymore. And so every time I preach, I say, hey, could we sing the Church's One Foundation? So that's a very special thing. And just for your information, 40 years ago, there were 40 men in my class and 2 women. In 40 years, we have changed dramatically. So, thank you. It's really wonderful to be here. It was a great honor to hear Fred preaching at the early service. I said, I really want to hear you. And he was only wonderful. So, thank you, Fred. Told you about Lou. He's been my partner in this wonderful research mission that we've been doing for the last 16 years on spiritual life. And my thanks to God for bringing all of us together on this Reformation Sunday to observe and celebrate our Christian history and to pronounce the dawning of a new spiritual reformation already begun and growing all around us, even right here in Cocoa Beach, Florida. So let's take a moment in prayer. Most gracious God, you are our rock and redeemer. You are our love and our life. And this church is where we celebrate and honor your presence. We praise and love you In the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. Now, nearly 500 years ago, Martin Luther changed the course of history by initiating what became known as the Protestant Reformation. And Luther took on the Pope and the papal system of control by declaring the priesthood of everyone, not just the priests, and the experience of salvation as a free gift from God, received only by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. No more dollars for indulgences to buy off your sins and get into heaven. And that turned out to be a very successful money raiser for the Roman Church. So you can imagine that it was no surprise when the church and the Pope excommunicated Luther for taking that away and condemned him as an outlaw. And he, in response, brought God to life everywhere for everyone. He translated the Bible into German to provide a common language so that people could read. They couldn't read the Bible before that. He wrote hymns to let all the people sing, not just the special people. He got married, which was a pretty big no-no in those days. And then to further the no-no to no-no-no, he had six children, I guess quite an unusual bunch. And out of his teaching, the Lutheran protesting Protestant Church was born. This was a very radical, and in the language of today, a very awesome guy. It really fits him. His passion about our individual responsibility before God is the anchor of our spiritual freedom today. 500 years ago, he said the church was a living body, not just an institution, but a community in which every member was essential. Everyone was essential and responsible for the entire community. Pretty powerful stuff for a guy 500 years ago. So, now, living in a world of today, 500 years later, we're living in a world that I think of as a world of multiplicity, a priesthood of many believers, many faiths, many challenges to the meaning of faith, many questions about authority and the role of diversity and difference. In fact, we are living in a world in which our differences have the potential to transform us and this world. It is the first time that we have begun to look at a world in which God, who used to belong just to us, is in fact the same God of the Catholics and the Muslims and the Presbyterians and the Jews and the Christian Scientists, and all who live in this world. We used to die over our differences. Now we have the opportunity to live in the gifts of our shared common God. Wow! This is a powerful time to be living. We may speak different languages, use different words, participate in different ceremonies and rituals, but we are linked in the love and presence of God for all people. And our differences are creating a spiritual vitality among us that is more powerful than that which divides us. It is really a time for us to acknowledge the commonality of our spirit and the center of our differences. Now, Jesus always knew that the most powerful way to talk to people was to tell them a story. So this is a good time for me to tell you a story of a recent experience that I had. And the story is called Susan, Bobby, Mara, and God, and the baseball game. We were living up in Rochester, New York, where we have three grandsons, one granddaughter, and a regular son and his wife, but we always talk about our grandchildren, like most grandparents do. We were at a Little League game, and our youngest grandson was playing in that Little League game. I can't remember if it was seventh or eighth grade. But if you remember Little League games, they are very long. And the reason they are very long is because most of the kids walk. Not very many strikeouts. So you have to really love the person you're there watching at the Little League game to stay for the whole game. But once in a while, it gets a little boring. And on this particular day, after 2 hours, it was beginning to get just a little edgy of boring. So next to me was sitting a woman, and I figured she was there for her son and her grandson. So I turned in conversation to her to say, well, it's kind of a long game, isn't it? And she said, yes, it's more than kind of. And we fell into conversation. And I asked her what her name was. And she said, well, my name is Susan Baruch. And Baruch stands for blessing. So I met Susan Blessing Baruch. And she said, why are you here? And I explained all that stuff. And then I told her about this project that Lou and I are doing, which is an interfaith project. And that the one piece we were missing, we had a Catholic and a Protestant and a Jewish population, but we had no Muslims in our project. And Susan Blessing Baruch said, I can get you a Muslim. I can get you a Muslim. So she did. And the Muslim that she got us was named Mara Ahmet, who was a Muslim filmmaker who had just completed and produced a film called Muslims in America. And we spent time at the bookstore coffee shop with Mara Ahmet, and I said to her, is there any way that we can get to meet the Muslim community? And she said, I can help you. I know the guy who's in charge of everything. And so the next thing we knew, we were experiencing the Muslim community in Rochester in Ramadan and breaking the fast with them. So here was a Reformed Jew, an American Muslim, a Christian grandmother with an interfaith project about spirit and healing. And our lives were transformed at a baseball game. And what happened out of that meeting? Well, Susan Baruch, blessing, got fired from her job. And her job was a very wonderful job as a research expert, but she wrote a novel about Christians and Jews that she had always wanted to write and never had the time, and found a publisher, comes out next year. Mara produced a second documentary on Muslim life in Pakistan. And I had my first opportunity to know the Islamic community in Rochester. And we have become connected for life. Only God can make that happen at a baseball game. That's God in action. Shared and direct experience with the presence of God is the name of this new spiritual reformation. An experience in which God becomes real to each of us. Not a set formula of rules or regulations, but only the openness to discover God in our own lives. How far we have come from the God who was almost unapproachable to the God who is present with us 24/7. God who never leaves us. God who fills us with spirit. God who does not see differences. God incarnate in the living Christ and in each of us. This new reformation is a reformation of spirit and experience, captured perfectly in our wonderful scripture reading from Job. God, I'm convinced that you can do anything and everything. I admit I once lived by rumors of you. I'll never do that again. I'll never live on crusts of hearsay, crumbs of rumor. Now I have it all firsthand from my own eyes and my own ears. Our new reformation of spirit and experience has given us a new vision of the religious community, a new interfaith direction, clearly a new mission. How do I know this? Well, 45 years ago in 1964, God appeared in my life, turning it upside down, inside out, catapulting me into a brand new, unexpected direction called the ministry. Not my idea at all. But I learned that God has another name, and that name is surprise. We have a deaf granddaughter, the sign for surprise is surprise, you know. And surprise is the way God always seems to appear in our lives. 30 years later, after so many surprises had happened, I began to wonder about other people. Had they experienced God in their lives? Could we share our experiences? Could we learn about God from each other? And so God initiated the Spiritual Healing Project through us to look at spiritual life in the United Church of Christ. And for the next 2 years, Lou and I traveled the entire United States asking people in churches about God. And 2,000 people took us into their churches and told us about their direct experiences with the transforming presence of God. They filled out a 9-page questionnaire, which is a huge questionnaire, about these experiences. And then they told us 3 critical facts. 1, their experience with God had made God entirely real to them, not just a name or the subject of a book. 2, this experience had utterly transformed their lives. And 3, but they rarely talked about these experiences for fear of being seen as weird, crazy, or too religious. And that included not sharing them in the church. But they never forgot them. And they looked for ways to bring these experiences into the world as actions without talking. Now, after our first 2,000 people in the study, God was clearly on a roll and directed us toward the Episcopal Church and the Roman Catholic Church and Reformed Jewish congregations and most recently the Islamic community in Manchester. We traveled to England to present our growing research at the Alistair Hardy Religious Experience Research Center and collected experiences from most of the world religions. Today, more than 4,000 people are in our study. And what we found was an astonishing and totally unexpected surprise. Where we had looked for a variety of stories about religious life, we received one experience repeated over and over and over in multiple settings and situations. Always an experience of the transforming presence of God in which God became real and unforgettable. And so we launched 3 more studies, one for adolescents, one for people in older age, and a study about prayer, which I'll tell you a little bit more later. And just last year, enter this God of surprise once again, who directed us to Florida, where we met Dr. Fred and Dr. Raymond Hargrove, and God surely smiled again. So here we are at the Cocoa Beach Community Church nearly a year later. For 16 years, this profoundly intimate God has offered us the gift of connection with people from different religious backgrounds to discover the commonality of our spiritual lives. Sometimes when I talk to people, they say, "But Bobby, I've never had an experience with God. I don't know what you're talking about." And so I tell them of experiences that others have shared. And somewhere in the telling, a new connection is made. Most recently, when we were meeting with a small Muslim group, a woman said, "But Bobby, I've never had an experience like that." And then she grew quiet And others began to share their experiences. And then she said softly, "Well, last year we were on a beach in Hawaii, and it was peaceful and it was quiet. And then I felt a gentle breeze, a sort of wind surrounding me, something I never felt before. Is that what you're talking about?" And I said to myself, "Praise God, 12 Muslims, 2 Christians, and a woman who brought us together with her experience in Hawaii of wind and spirit and God." Dear new Cocoa Beach Community Church friends, God is right here in this room, so close to each of us, so present to all people everywhere, that we stand on the brink of a new world of spiritual connections. Once you experience the presence of God, your blinders are removed, just as the scripture said this morning, and God becomes very, very real. And we are connected to each other in a way that we have never known before. I want to share some other experiences with you from other faith traditions, because they are the life and the substance and the heart of our connection with God. When we were with the Muslim community in Rochester, as you know, the men and women don't worship together. The women worship upstairs in the balcony and the men on the main floor. And when they eat, they don't eat together. The women are on this side, and then there's a barrier, and then the men. And I found that very, very strange. I just haven't lived in that kind of world. But the women began to talk to me. And what they told me was so extraordinary. They said, "You know, we pray 5 times a day, but that God lives right here in each of us by my carotid artery. That's where God lives." And I said, "Does that make you feel like God is watching your every move?" And they said, no. That's God who lives here. That's God who's with me 24/7. When I'm asleep, God is here. When I'm punishing my children, God is here. When I'm not thinking about God, God is here. I thought of how puny my own expression of Protestant life is. I don't think of God right here every minute. Don't pray 5 times a day. But here was a group, this was the ground of their life, God right there. We were in a Jewish temple. We often met in the basement where we were doing our project. And there was a man sitting about where you are. And he was clearly getting a little more agitated as we were doing the project and data collecting and so on and so forth. So finally, I didn't say a word. Finally, he said, "I have to ask you a question," just about in that tone of voice. And I said, "Sure." And he said, "Well, I really have to tell you something." I said, "That's fine." He said, "I work in a Christian hospital, and I'm a Jew. And every day somebody comes up to me and says, 'Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?' And I am offended. I'm a Jew. That's not my life." And I said to him, "And you should be. And you should be." And he stood up and he looked at me and he said, "Do you mean that we could talk to each other this way?" And I said, "Absolutely, of course." And he never stopped talking. He talked through the rest of the meeting. When the meeting was over and we went up the stairs to the parking lot where our car was, he stayed with us. We stood another hour in the parking lot. A door had opened. Now, it felt strange to me to say you should be offended. But for him, it was an open door to a conversation that ultimately could include Jesus, and did. It was a step in a direction of connection. In the Catholic churches, in one that we went to, before we got there for our program, they had a telephone chain, And on the telephone chain, they said, "The Protestants are coming. The Protestants are coming," which is very cute. And after each time we were there, we always said, thank you for letting a couple of Protestants come in and talk to a group of Catholics about their spiritual life. And one day, one of the men there said, "You know, I've been with you for 2 hours, and I've never seen any Protestants." And we understood exactly what he meant, because we hadn't seen any Catholics either. We were one. We had become one. Lou and I were having, this is a very generic story, we were having some construction done. And because we talk about our work about spiritual healing all the time, we, of course, shared it with a guy who was doing some construction work. And he finally said, "You know, I'm not interested in that stuff. I don't go to church. I don't think about God. And so, you know, that's fine, but I'll go about my work and not worry about what you're talking about." Well, I pursued as he left and handed him one of our books and said, "Well, just, you know, take it home. See what you think." He was having a dinner party that Saturday night with a group of his friends who were all of the same nature. Didn't think about God, didn't pay attention to church, this wasn't important to them. But he said at the dinner, "You know, I'm working, doing some work for a couple sort of old, strange people, us. And they're talking about some work that they're doing. And they handed me a book to read. And it was all about experiences with God. And I got to thinking about it, and I thought of an experience that I had had. So I'm just wondering if any of you gathered here have had an experience with God." They went around the table. Each one had an experience to share. There is a world of people out there that have experienced God in their lives. And A, don't like to talk about it, or B, are scared to death to talk about it, but they're there if you help them identify. And I guess we, being weird old people, gave him a good form of identification. God brought me an interesting Christian Science connection. You know, the Christian Scientists for years have talked about spiritual healing and what it means to them as the kind of focus of their religious life. So I asked them, since they do so much prayer, what it meant to them to pray for other people. What did it feel like to pray for other people? And then I asked a group of women, and I think there were two men in the prayer group in a community church near where I lived, what does it mean to you to pray for someone else? And the people in the prayer group in the community church said, "But it's not us. We pray for somebody else. We don't even think about ourselves." And in the Christian Science Church, they said, "Each time we pray, we affirm that God is here. When we pray, we know that God is here. And that's how we benefit that affirmation of God over and over and over again." A different way to look at a similar situation. I want to give you a kind of universal, not necessarily interfaith experience, but something that is pretty universal. Lou and I were at the Walgreens drugstore waiting in line, and behind us was a mom with a two-year-old, and the two-year-old had decided that he had had enough. So he started to cry, and then he started to scream, and then he got really hysterical, as only two-year-olds can do. And his mother got more and more desperate to help quiet him down, and he would have none of that, so she gave up. And everybody in line was hoping that he would please be quiet soon, because it was very disturbing. And I happened to be situated so that at one point he turned around and he saw me. He put out his arms and he said, "Grandma, Grandma." Now, I wasn't his grandmother, clearly. And he quieted down, and he smiled. And I thought of how universal that is. How universal, Grandma. How universal, God is. For him, grandma was peace and whatever else. For us, God is real. God is real. Final story that Lou and I like a great deal. We were on Highway 95, driving from Philadelphia to Baltimore, and we needed to stop in and get gas and a cup of coffee and Mrs. Fields' cookie. And so I went to the map man because I needed a map of Baltimore. And I said, could I please have a map of Baltimore? And he looked at me just like you are, and he said, what for? I was really surprised by that. And so without thinking, I said, well, because we're taking a spiritual healing project to four churches in Baltimore, in about that tone of voice. And he looked at me and he said, what for? And I kind of lost it. I thought, well, I'm going to tell him. So I said, well, you know, we're taking the spiritual healing project to four churches in Baltimore, and that's why I need a map. And he paused. And he said, spiritual healing happens all the time. And it's happening right now with the three of us. And I feel better. I think we got our map. We got to Baltimore. We were so astonished by these words that the next time we were on Highway 95, we stopped in because we were so blown away by what he said that we didn't thank him. So we'll go and thank this man. Was he there? No. Was he on sick leave? I don't know. Had he resigned? I don't know. He wasn't there. But he gave us the truth of our research study. Spiritual healing happens all the time. Spiritual healing talks about God present with each of us. And we feel better when we acknowledge God present in our lives. We simply feel better. Does that mean that our lives become perfect, wonderful, always good, no trouble? Not at all. It means we feel better. Something in us is so deeply touched by the presence of God that we can't help but feel better. One of our most favorite stories. The spirit of Luther and all who came after is alive and well right here in Cocoa Beach, Florida. In the spiritual life team, where I just spent two unforgettable and wonderful days. In the multiple ministries in this church. In the spiritual enrichment center ministering to the entire community. In each of you who came to this truly living body called the church. This is the beginning of a new reformation. Built on the powerful foundation of shared spiritual experience. This is where God always meets us. And this is finally where we truly meet each other. For God, I am convinced you can do anything and everything. I'll never again live on crusts of hearsay. Because I know you. I'll never again live on crumbs of rumor because you're here. I have it all firsthand now from my own eyes and from my own ears. Amen and amen. And let us pray for just another moment. Most gracious God, you bring us to life. You bring us to you. You fill us with your presence. You transform us. You bring us here to this church to become connected to each other. We praise and love you and thank you and always pray in Jesus' name. Amen.